Welcome to Heartland Darkland. I'm Shannon.
And I'm Cassie. Hey, Dark Hearts. Hey, Dark Hearts. It was close.
Yeah, that one was better. That's why I usually like don't, but today I did. So, hey guys, welcome back, or welcome if you're just joining for the first time on episode 71.
Yeah.
Isn't that wild? 71.
I know. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, it sure is. But it's exciting.
I know. I don't know where the time has gone. Oh God. I'm like looking at myself in the camera with my bleached hair and my face looks like so ridiculous. I feel like with
no, you know what I'm going to say, and don't take this in a bad way because I personally love this person, but you sort of have like the Eminem vibe going right now, minus the like spiky-ish hair. Like if it was a little bit shorter, I would be like Slim Shady, but I love him. So I love you. You know,
it's fine. It's just for a minute. Time management, you know.
For anyone who doesn't know, I guess I should say Cassie always has really funky, like fun colored hair. So
yeah, I guess if you don't like ever look at our TikToks or whatever, you probably don't see, because like we post little previews of just these videos. Because I'm not TikTok savvy, so that's all I know how to do is screen record and throw it up there. But you'll see the varying different ways my hair looks, and I'm currently in the process of recoloring it. And so this morning I was like, oh, I'm gonna bleach it now, I've got time, not thinking about my time management. And you know, it's fine, because then I've been working on some stuff for my own little side hustle that I got, that I've been trying to do. And then I'm like, oh hey, and then I was like, I'm just gonna do a few little spot check, you know, whatever. Yeah. And I was like, okay.
Yeah, it's fine and it's perfect, it looks lovely. And it'll just be more of a surprise than next week, because it'll be like a whole new head of hair.
I'm going to attempt to do like a silvery lilac thing.
Oh, like a silver fox situation.
I don't think I'm old enough to be called a silver fox. And I think it's technically a masculine thing, but whatevs.
Yeah, it's fine. I like a fox and I like the color silver. So we're just going to go with that.
Yeah.
And it sounds like it should be some cool like superhero situation, right? You
I'm
know
I'm not mad about that.
Not at all. But yeah, okay guys, well there's that. I don't think we really have anything to share. I mean, we're all in full swing of
school
and like dying because we're in the desert, but not really,
because it's so muggy
hot here.
Ugh.
This morning were your windows like, could you not see out your windows?
The condensation on them was disgusting.
My daughter said, did it rain? And I'm like, nope, sure didn't. It's like yesterday my feels like said 120 degrees on mine, and I thought
today's today's supposed to be worse. There was a Pink concert in Omaha yesterday too, and I had a friend who went to it, and she said like the performance was great. One, I don't know how Pink
I wanted to go, but I'm like that. I'm not doing, and I feel bad for, the performer. Can you imagine?
Yeah. And my friend said she was like, her clothes were like soaking wet by the time she got home, because even after the sun went down, it was still disgusting.
I had a friend post that had also went and said, does anyone know where I can get like fluids, like an IV fluid situation? Because it was that bad.
I'm kind of surprised usually with outdoor things like that, when it's that disgustingly hot, at least I know for several like rock concerts I've gone to at West Fair Amphitheater, they'll have water stations.
Yeah.
Like where you can get free water and stuff.
Yeah, because that's like dangerous. I mean, nobody wants that on their hands.
Hope they had that last night.
I know. I've seen Pink before and she is an amazing performer. I really wanted to go, but I was kind of like, yeah, since I've seen her, I'm not going to care. Plus, I mean, we probably like could have gotten cheap tickets if we had wanted to go, because lots of people were selling them because it was so hot.
It was so hot.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I also hate the heat, so I'm not about ready to go do that.
No,
I was hot enough sitting in my house, but
yeah, I would love to see Pink, but like indoors.
Yeah, she was indoors when I saw her and it was much more enjoyable, because then she also was like hanging from the ceiling doing all
the
things.
See, and that was my other thing. Like, I know she does a lot of that stuff, and I'm like, how do you do that in an outdoor venue? Like,
I know. I don't know. I do not know.
Maybe there's a way, but
yeah.
Who knows? So, I don't know. But yeah, apparently my son's classroom doesn't have good circulation. They were like, his teacher sent a message. It was like, make sure you send them in cool clothes and with water bottles and all that. I'm like, fantastic. But also like, I think there's some weird stomach thing going around too.
there's been a lot of kids missing from my daughter's school since school started. She said that there's been a lot of sick kids. And I'm like,
My son told me two kids threw up yesterday, but I'm like, okay, was that from the heat? Or was that because one of our neighbor kids was fine Friday, was throwing up all day Saturday, still kind of sick on Sunday, but went to school Monday and was fine.
Weird.
One of the girls at the bus stop's been gone the last 2 days now. And I don't know if it's heat or she's sick or what. And like, so there's also some weird stomach thing going on, but like no fever or anything like that. It's just some weird like onset of like throwing up. Because then even Leslie from the Grim Mystics, I was chatting with her and she was sick like that too.
Jeez. Stay far away from me, everybody that's sick, because that is not a thing I want ever.
I hate throwing up. Of all the ways to be sick, that's the worst.
That's the worst. I agree. So yeah, I don't know. My daughter, it's funny. It's the opposite at their school. They got a new like chiller system because it's old that they have, you know, boilers and chillers and all that. Yeah. But they got a new system and they tell them to bring sweatshirts and coats to school because it's so cold in their classrooms. I'm like, that's a weird thing, you know, but then yesterday too, she was like, yeah, we had to come in for recess or have indoor recess because if it, you know, is over, feels over 100. And I was like, oh, that's so weird. I'm so used to Nebraska. Like you can't go outside when it's negative, whatever. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, this is a new thing. But then I think about all those kids like at bus stops and whatnot. It's the same thing in the heat. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I get like, you can't, don't want to just like cancel school because of that. But at the same time, like it's dangerous. They didn't,
though. Yeah. I'm truly surprised. Because especially with being up, which my kids are on the bus, and this morning just walking up to the bus stop was muggy, which our bus driver's great, like this year so far, knock on wood, on time, all the time.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of curious about whether like buses don't have good AC.
I don't think so. They just put the windows down and the wind blows through, right? Yeah. Well, and yesterday on the news, I'm sure you probably saw a child died from being left in a daycare van.
Oh God, no, I didn't.
A 1 year old. Yeah. So I feel like with that too, that's like a well, like reminder to.
Was that here?
Yeah. I'll send you the link. If you just Google it, it's been all over the news here. It was down on like 50th and Leavenworth or something. It was a daycare van.
I'm like, okay, especially like a daycare van, like you're supposed to be checking. How did no one?
I don't know. And they said, I mean, it was terrible. Cause when I first saw that they had gotten this child, they said CPR was in process. And so I'm like, that's never a good thing. And then I saw last night that the child did not survive. And I thought, oh my gosh, like it is so hot to be outside. And I thought they need to take things like this so seriously, which I know they do, but I mean, with bus stops and even like,
but
you know,
I'm curious, shouldn't they have had a checklist? Like, hey, these are all the kids we picked up. Like, how are you not?
Well, and it was a 1 year old. So like what, I don't know. I'm sure there's more to the story that will come out, but as of now,
that sounds like some negligence.
My God. Oh, yes. Because they made it sound like it was a daycare thing, not like a parent left.
Parent thing.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, it's hot. Even that, like my car, like my last car, and even this one is always like, check your back seats.
Oh, it does that? That's cool. That's really cool.
So the newer vehicles I know have started doing that. Unless it's like an off schedule thing, I don't understand. Cause I know there have been times where I don't know, but
it's so hard to not like jump to the judgment on that, because I guess I've never been in that situation where, and it's, I mean, I don't think a parent would, well, some intentionally leave their kids, but I mean, the ones that forget, like when people are so quick to jump down their throats, it's like, let's all just like take a step back because.
But like, I'm sorry, I'm going to judge a daycare who should.
Yes. That's your responsibility. That's your only job. Yeah. Your job is to keep the kid alive. Literally. Yeah.
And like, if we're a daycare pickup, like you're like, it's like the bus driver knows, like these are the students that are coming on this bus, they have a list. If you went to that house to pick the child up or whatever they were doing, how are you not? No, that sounds like some negligence.
There's gonna be a lot coming with that, I'm sure. I mean, it sounded kind of, the pictures looked at like more sketchy area where I'm sure there wasn't a lot of like rule following as far as like,
I wonder if there'll be criminal charges. Yeah,
very sad.
So, and like, not that the money will bring the child back, but I hope the parents are financially compensated.
Yeah, parents' worst nightmare. Yeah.
Oh my God.
That's on the crime realm of things. So I felt like it was inappropriate to share, and on the, you know, the whole line with the heat. Yeah. It's gross. I just want fall. And I saw a thing that said the Ober months are coming. Or, I know. Yeah. What did it say? Ober? Not, oh, well, Ember.
Burr
Ember?
Months Burr? Or whatever.
Burr. Just Burr. Yeah. It's like, is it just Burr?
September. Yeah. October. Yeah, there you go. November.
I love October.
Me morning. Too. I'm That's so excited. Exciting.
I've already started buying Halloween, like adding to our decor. I try to do a little like, oh, we've talked about this already, yeah. But I'm just excited. And I got a few things in the mail already. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, we still have like a whole month, but it's fine.
I'm probably going to put up that thing I bought.
Did you come?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I
came. Oh, my gosh. I meant to ask you the other day. Yeah, so
I haven't put it up yet.
Yeah, it was perfect. After we talked last week about how Cassie wanted her big inflatable and her husband said no, I found the perfect inflatable for her mm-hmm. on Amazon. And I think it was meant to be because it popped right up on my thing and it was half off. Like,
it was only $25.
And like, it literally like had your name on it. I yeah. don't know what could have been more Cassie, you know? So
yeah. It's super gonna be exciting. Amazing. I'll share a picture whenever it's finally yeah, it's like disgustingly hot now. So I'm like, okay, well now I'm going to wait, but my husband, I'm just going to like
just put it up one day and he comes home. Yep. What in the actual?
That's my plan actually, is to just put it up.
Surprise. Uh-huh. Happy Halloween.
So now I just need a dragon to go with it. Mm-hmm. If we can find a cute little dragon.
I'm on the lookout.
Yeah.
I'm on the lookout. B-O-L-O. Yeah. Anyone who sees one, especially if it's on sale.
If it's cheap, like nothing, like, listen, yeah. I know there are dragon inflatables out there and they're awesome, but also expensive.
Yeah.
But
this one was cheap and that's why it was like, it was almost dumb not to buy it when it's half off, right? Like you have to.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
I love it. Okay. Anyways. Yes.
Yeah. That's enough of that, I guess. I don't mm-hmm. know anything else new that anyone else would care about. I have lots to talk about with you, but I can talk to you later about all that. So,
you know.
So this week we are going to Ohio. Ohio. So, it's kind of funny because I actually found this case on accident. I was trying to find something to watch. Like I always have a show on while I'm working just as in the background. So I was on HBO and I came across this series called A Body in the Basement. So I don't know if it's newer or not. I think there's only like one season, but I started watching it and like the second episode was in Ohio. And so I was like, this is kind of perfect because I had been looking for cases, not like super hard, but then when this one came up, I thought this is perfect. So this was on HBO for anyone that has it, or Max or whatever the hell it's called now. So, season one, episode two. So we're going to talk about Shannon Graves. Ironic. Her name is Shannon. So it was also meant to be. Remember?
Right. There you go.
So Shannon Graves, she was born November 4th of 1988. We'll just kind of do a little background here on her. She had a half sister. So they both shared the same father. And on this documentary, they talked to the sister a lot. Her name is Debbie. So she didn't really know. There wasn't a lot of people that could speak about Shannon prior to age six, I guess. So she said she met Shannon at age six and they knew that they were, you know, half sisters. But she said the first time she met her, Shannon ran up to her and hugged her and said, "Oh, you're my sister. You're my sister." And was just super Aww. Sweet and welcoming right away. And so she said right then and there, she was like, "Okay, I like this kid. She's going to be fun." So I don't know their whole situation, if they lived with their dad or what, but it sounds like they were, I mean, fairly close. And Debbie said that Shannon was super smart and quick-witted and just very sassy when she was young. Lots of fun to be around. But when she became a teenager, things kind of changed. I mean, per usual, you know, lots of different things are changing. And she kind of started just doing her own thing and maybe hanging around the wrong crowd a little bit.
Teenage years are rough.
Yeah,
you know?
They are. So rough. So not shocking, but Debbie said that they kind of went their own way. And Shannon really like went her own way and started just like staying with friends instead of staying at home. She even stopped going to high school, which is sad.
Oh.
But yeah, so that's what her deal was. So she was doing that. And then she actually became an entertainer, was the term they used. So we'll go with that. She was an entertainer, which is fine. Yeah. But her dream was always to be a cosmetologist. So She actually still
a good way to make some money to save up for that.
No doubt. And I mean, at least she had some goals in mind. You know what I mean? Yeah. So like she would go work all night long at this club. Then she would come home and she would sleep for like just a couple hours. And then she'd get back up and she would go to cosmetology school.
That's fantastic.
She was super ambitious. Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, but then when you're done work or done with school and you go back to work and you're like hardly sleeping because you want to do this, I think that's really admirable. So
100%. And the thing is like, there's no hate on that profession. Like one, that takes some talent and some dedication and
Have you seen their muscles?
Yeah. Like, holy shit.
Which, whatever. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, people all want to judge and who.
Yeah.
It's whatever. You know, she did what she needed to do. So,
yeah.
She had goals and dreams. And her whole thing was like, she wanted to finish school. She wanted to be a cosmetologist and she wanted her own house. And this is when I knew I was like, I have to do this case because I love her because she loved like dogs and she wanted a house so she could rescue all the dogs, they said.
Well, yeah. Again, another way she's making some bank.
Yeah.
Put herself through school so she doesn't have that debt. So she can maybe have some extra money to get her business off the ground, buy herself a house. Like this woman is hustling. Yes.
Yeah. By all means. Like you get it, girl. So she was a huge animal lover, obviously, if she wants to rescue all the dogs. So she actually had a little pit bull named Molly, which I think is adorable. I'll have to, if I can get a picture, I will post it because Molly is the cutest. The picture I saw, she had a little like pink t-shirt on and was just, I love her. And please no hate on the pit bulls, everyone.
No, because I'm not going there with that.
We are not. And I love pit bulls anyway. I love all doggies. I don't care. Like any dog can be bad if it needs to be. And we're not going there once again. No. But she, okay. So that was like her baby. Molly was her baby. She would take her everywhere. And she obviously wanted a bunch more dogs. So it was actually funny because she was only like 5 feet tall, but everyone said she was a pit bull in a chihuahua's body. I was like, yeah, that's a good way to describe it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, that's perfect because she has a pit bull. So So she finished school. Her family was super proud of her. She was proud of herself. She was finally organizing her life. And Debbie said they were excited because they felt like she was kind of getting back on track just from, you know, dropping out of school and all that. So they were super happy and excited. So in January of 2017, she would have been about 28. She would have just turned 28 November before. So in that January, Shannon was supposed to go to a friend's baby shower and she didn't show up. So her friend was really annoyed because they were pretty close. They worked together at the club and she was mad, but she said she didn't think too much about it just because sometimes Shannon, I mean, she was working all the time, school, all the things. She could have been sleeping for all they know, but they must have not been close enough to like go check on each other. You know what I mean? So she didn't think about it, but she was annoyed. So then a whole month goes by and she still hasn't heard from Shannon. And I don't know if she wasn't working then or what. I mean, depending on what her job was at the club,
I mean, I would assume not if she's pregnant.
Yeah. That girl. Yeah. And Shannon, I mean, I don't know, I guess if anyone had called her, like she didn't show up to work, that kind of thing too. There wasn't a lot, but we can maybe talk about that later, kind of speculation on some of it. But, yeah. Sorry, I needed to, I need some water there. I'm talking a lot, chatty here. So it was a month. And then that's when the friend was like, okay, this is actually kind of weird now. She said that her friend who she just had her daughter. And she said, because I don't know if Shannon was going to be there or come visit her or whatnot, but she said, because of that, her not showing up, she knew something was wrong. And she said like the reason she hadn't been too worried before was she described Shannon as like a gypsy. She said she kind of just would leave for long periods of time. And I mean, she's a grown adult. Like she doesn't need to check in where it's going to be as weird, I guess. You know, she doesn't have any kids or a husband or anything. Like she's just going to go do whatever. And so her friend thought that maybe she had just left for a while and needed to clear her head or whatnot, but because she hadn't heard from her in that long, she was really concerned. So, another friend of hers too, who hadn't been able to reach her, who I believe she worked at the club with too, she actually went to Shannon's apartment. So she went over there to see if she was home because she wasn't answering her phone. and she knocked and knocked, but she never came to the door. And she wasn't answering her phone, but it was weird because her car was still there, parked at her apartment, and she could hear Molly inside barking. And, like, she knew that she would never have left.
Molly end up being okay?
Molly is fine. I was actually just going to say Molly's fine, guys. She lives.
Okay, because I'm like, obviously I know where this is going, but yeah, I was like, but if it was like a month before anyone noticed, like.
I know. Well, we'll talk about that too, because at first I thought the same thing, but then the more I researched about it, I was like, well, you'll see why. Like,
okay,
Molly's still alive. Because I mean, if it had been like 2 months or whatever, like, probably not the case, you know?
Right.
But Molly's fine. Someone
would have noticed a barking dog.
I know.
And complained.
Because it's in an apartment, and like, they look like they're ones. Like a small complex where you just like walk right into the front door. You know what I mean? Because it's a small town. Did I even say where we were? We were in Youngstown, Ohio.
I knew Ohio, but I don't remember exactly where.
Whatever. Dove right in.
That's fine.
So the fact that Molly was there was like, wait, what? And how would Shannon leave without her car? And she would never leave that dog, ever. So clearly lots of red flags were there. So a few of her friends went to her dad's house to see if she had been there. And he was like, just not concerned. He was like, she'll show up. This is Shannon. This is what she does. I'm not worried about it. But her sister, Debbie, said she just didn't have a good feeling about it. And she didn't realize that Shannon hadn't been around because, you know, once again, they weren't like super close where they talk all the time, where she thought anything of it. So she finally goes in and she files like a missing persons report. So once it was all over the news and Facebook, it made it more real. And Debbie said it was just crazy when she saw her sister's face on the TV the first time saying missing, because she said like she couldn't believe that things had gotten to this point. And they can't even figure out the last time anyone had talked to her, but they determined it was like January was the last time that anyone had actually talked to her. So the lead investigator, Michael Lambert, he led any missing persons reports there in Youngstown. And he said that most of the cases usually end up being solved or closed before they even really have to investigate, which I'm sure is a lot of it. So he said this one was not your typical missing persons case, because by the time this report, they had made the missing persons report, this was July. So 4 to 5 months have passed. So they can't follow, you know, the same leads as far as like calling hospitals. That's almost 6 months.
And if it's July and the last anyone heard from her was January.
Yeah. 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 And so it was like, yeah, they can call hospitals and stuff, but by now they're like, something would have been come out, you know, a Jane Doe would have needed to be identified. And so he said it made it really difficult to start where to begin because all those options had pretty much expired. So they, you know, are looking into her more. They find that her car had actually been towed fairly recently after there was a short pursuit with the police. And I guess her boyfriend, ex-boyfriend, whatever he was driving it. And so after that, they had taken the car. But she hadn't been reported missing yet, so they didn't think, I mean, think anything of it. So her boyfriend, ex-boyfriend, whatever, is Arturo Noveo. So he was 31 years old, not that much older. But Shannon's friends, so they talk about Arturo. They said that he would often come to visit Shannon at the club. He always just seemed really mean and mad, not a big fan. They said, one of them said he had like black eyes. She said he just was creepy, gave her the creeps. But she wasn't surprised that Shannon was with him because she said that Shannon liked the bad boys. And he had been in prison prior to this for drugs. But that was it. But, you know, it was her kind of guy. So they weren't like super serious, though. It sounded like they kind of were just having fun. She had never said to any of her friends anything about like being in love with him or him being the one. And when they hung out, there was usually like a big group of people that would all hang out together and they would be there. But they said overall, Shannon didn't seem like she wanted to really settle down. I think she kind of had her own goals. Like, I love that. I want a house full of dogs. So who needs that? So I don't think they were that serious, but he was still apparently like staying with her or living with her off and on. Yeah. So
I mean, a guy like that is probably not. Mm-hmm.
So, yes. Sorry. Okay. So, of course, they're going to look at him now because he's obviously a suspect. They didn't know anything about him until now. So his background, like I said, he had the drug history, but he didn't have any like violent criminal history. So he's still suspect, but they don't think maybe he did anything like, you know, violent. He told them that she said she was leaving. She took off and she said she would come back to get her dog and her car. Okay. So then,
so how'd she take off?
Right. So then that's all he told the police, apparently. But then I guess Shannon's dad, after all this was going on, he kind of starts looking into it. So he talks to Arturo, and Arturo said, well, you know, her dad said, well, who did she leave with? Like, did she leave on foot? Why would she not have taken her car? That doesn't make any sense. And so Arturo's like, well, I don't know. I just assumed she would come back when she, you know, when she wanted to, I don't know. And he just was very like wishy-washy about it. Thankfully though, at this point, when they realize that the dog Molly is still at the apartment, they, Shannon's dad and some of his friends go and get Molly and bring her back. And so then she goes and stays with Debbie. Like, thank God. That was my main concern. I'm like, who's taking care of the dog?
I was gonna say, but like, if it's been 6 months, someone's been taking care of that dog.
Right. So he's apparently like staying there too, which I'll talk about that a little bit more too, but I guess it's a decent point to discuss that he's been taking care of the dog. So that's why Molly's okay, which, okay, I'm glad somebody was taking care of the dog. That would be like my first, I mean, concern, obviously, after a human being missing, but
yeah,
Molly would probably rip his face off anyway if he messed with her. I don't know. Maybe not. Okay.
I mean, yeah.
But yeah, he didn't seem concerned. He was just like, yeah, I'm going to take care of Molly till Shannon comes back and gets her. Okay. So they take the dog. Good. So now that all of this is going around and it's on the news, it's a small town. People are asking Arturo, you know, like, well, what happened? Why don't you know if you're staying there? And he said that she took off with her boyfriend, John Scadarda. I don't know. Okay, who was actually an ex-boyfriend, but he was saying, telling people, well, she left with John, her boyfriend. And they're like, wait, what? Okay, so a little bit about John now. Insert John. So Shannon lived with John before she had met Arturo. So John got in trouble for some drugs. So he went to prison for this drug charge. And he said that when he was out, he expected to basically just get back with Shannon when he got out. And, but when he got out of prison, he found out that she was now with Arturo. So there could have been some tension there too.
Yeah.
You know, because there didn't give a lot of details if he still talked to her while he was locked up or what, but, so now they bring John in to talk to him. So he said that he hadn't actually seen Shannon since December of 2016. He said that she had messaged him on Instagram in February, but that was it. He didn't say what the message said. It must have not been that relevant because they don't really talk about anything more than that. But he seemed very, very helpful, which we also know is always a red flag too. So he basically like inserted him into the investigation. He gave tons of information on where he thought she was, what he thought she was doing, who he thought could have had something to do with it, which is also very sus, you know, like,
yeah,
why are you helping so much? But it could go either way. So they are, you know, looking into him more and stuff too, because of his record. And they think, you know, maybe he, even though it was like a drug charge, it could have been, like looking at any of that, they're not really finding anything. And John goes ahead and takes it upon himself to start his own like surveillance on her apartment, which, okay, like, cool. Like, that's pretty sweet if he's really like, you do it, man. But then there's also like that weird, like, why, what do you have to gain or lose from this? Unless he was really obsessed with her and...
I don't know. Arturo is still my prime suspect.
Yeah, Arturo's so sketchy. I'm not a fan. Yeah. So, so he does that and he's getting different tips and whatnot from just watching the apartment. But, you know, they're still looking at this case too as just a missing persons case, because they really don't have any reason right now to believe that it's not. So they think maybe she did leave. They don't know. So it was a missing persons case until it wasn't. So July 29th of 2017, a call comes in to 911, and it's a man named Ken Eschenbaugh. Quite frantic, he's telling them he found a body in their freezer in the basement. So what the hell? Yes.
Who is he roommates with?
Right. It gets real dicey. So Tony Marzullo, he's this crime scene investigator that's in charge of this. And it was actually funny because he said when he got this call, he was like, wait, what? Like, he's never had to investigate something like this in a small, tiny town.
Well, yeah.
And so is this real? What am I walking into?
If the body's in the freezer, like, hopefully, depending on how long it's been there, things are preserved then. But also, well, like, how long has the body been there that you've just now noticed the body? And right. How is there a body in your freezer that you didn't know?
Right, you don't know. I know. So many red flags there, too. Yeah. So weird. And, like, huh? Like, I was really confused on where this was going. So this is a very like normal home in a normal part of town, just a small house. So Tony, the investigator, crime scene guy, he goes in and his job, he said, was to take pictures of the crime scene and process the entire scene. So he goes to this house. He finds a chest freezer in the basement, you know, like not the big, huge ones, yeah. But like
I have one of those in the basement. Like more rectangular, yes. Smaller, like, yes. Yeah.
So it's a little guy, but it's padlocked shut. You better go check your freezer body.
I was just in there. It's fine.
Yeah, it's fine. And I don't think this probably happens on the regs. So
and there's no padlock on ours.
Yeah. Well, this one sure did have a padlock, and it was like the kind that someone had put on there with screws on the top. So it was kind of dumb because you literally could just unscrew those screws and that part flops down and then the bottom's still locked. Do you know what I mean? Does that make sense? Okay. So that's what had happened. I mean, it was open. Obviously, they had taken the screws out. That's how they found this body. So super weird. So he said when they first opened this freezer, there wasn't any foul smell at all, because when a body is frozen, it's not going to give off any odor. Mm-hmm. So at the bottom of the freezer, there's a bunch of black bags, trash bags. So they start taking them out, and there are pieces of a human body that are so frozen.
Because I'm like, even being 5 foot, to fit her in there, they'd have had to cut. Mm-hmm.
Terrible. So the pieces were so frozen, they literally couldn't really tell what anything was yet.
They had to let it thaw.
Mm-hmm. Oh. So there was also in there next to all these bags, there was an orange 5-gallon bucket, and it had the lid on it. So they pry this lid open, and in the bucket, there was the top half of the victim's head.
Oh.
So in order for the body to get into the small freezer, they obviously determined they had to break bones and dismember the body. Mm-hmm. Tony, the investigator, he said this was so gruesome and so disturbing. He like just could not believe a human could actually do this to another human.
Yeah.
Talk about traumatized too. When you're investigating like robberies and maybe nothing. I mean, nothing like, even like that. Like this is a whole new level. So there was a few missing women, I guess, in that county overall. So they needed to still check to see if they could get a match, because they weren't sure and they didn't have enough evidence there to determine who it was. Plus, they didn't even really know about Shannon, because this house was in a different town. It was Camel, Ohio, which is very close. I think it's just a small town nearby, but they probably weren't as familiar with that case. But they take the body to the coroner's office, and like we said, they had to wait for it to defrost, was the term they used.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So because they wanted to make this positive ID as fast as they could, they said that they actually injected saline solution into the fingers to rehydrate and lift a print. I was like, oh, that's a smart call, I guess. Mm-hmm. I would have never thought of that. But so they lift the fingerprint and they are able to identify this body as being Shannon Graves. So because of the state of her body too, they never do determine exactly how she died. So now it's like, okay, so it goes from her just being missing to her body being found in someone's basement in a freezer. Okay, like, connect the dots. How does that even happen? So obviously they talk to the homeowners of this home. So it's Ken and Jill Eschenbaugh. They're an older couple. They had no connection to Shannon at all. They didn't know Shannon. They didn't know her family. Family didn't know them. They are just as confused as everybody else. And like, you can tell on the 911 call, you can tell by his voice that it's not fake. You know what I mean? Yeah. You can kind of tell when someone's like genuinely freaked out. Mm-hmm. So they interview him separate and everything to make sure stories line up. And so Ken, he said that a friend of theirs asked if he could keep a freezer at their house. He called Ken and he said his electricity was sort of off, which it's funny because Ken's like, my first thought was, how is electricity sort of off? Either it's off or it's on. But, yeah, you know, like, he was funny. But he said, I was like, I mean, yeah, that's fine. Because his friend told him that he had a lot of meat. He didn't want to go bad. So Ken was like, I mean, yeah, okay, sure. That's, I don't care, I guess, whatever. So this was on July 17th. So, and it was probably, a few days later, Jill, the wife, said she even asked her husband about it. Like, she said, why is the freezer padlocked? That's bizarre.
Yeah.
Like, if someone brought that in, I'd be like, wait, what? You know,
that's an instant red flag.
Yeah. I mean, and it's this unfinished basement. So they would go down there to do laundry. And so like, other than, I mean, I guess they would see it fairly often because of going up and down there to, you know, do it. But she just thought it was super weird. It was padlocked, but didn't really like question it. Ken was like, I don't know. I don't know the connection to the friend yet. They do talk about that later. So I just so everyone knows, we're getting to that, but they're, yeah. So they thought that was odd. So I don't know, I guess whatever, a few days leading up into this 911 call, things, it's just there. And then one night Jill's making dinner and she realizes she ran out of meat. This is just terrible coincidence that this happened, because who knows if this ever would have been found out otherwise. But she was making dinner and she needed more meat for meatballs, and she didn't want to run to the store. And she remembered that their friend had brought this freezer that he said, you know, there was meat in there. She thought, I'm just going to use a little bit just to get by. It's whatever.
Yeah.
So she goes down there, and her husband comes down with her to try to get the padlock off. So they use the screwdriver, they get the top of it open. And Ken said when he opened the freezer, his stomach flipped, because first of all, he couldn't believe how the meat was packaged, because it wasn't like fully covered. It was just kind of thrown in. And you know, people that are like serious about that stuff, like,
yeah,
it's going to get freezer burnt too if you don't actually like wrap it. So he said it was kind of just like half-assed, and he was like, what the heck? So he said there was all these black bags of it. And so when he picked up one of the bags, he saw a human foot. Uh-huh. So that was when he calls 911. And so as they're talking to him, you know, they want to know who this person was that brought this freezer. So I don't know the relationship or how they knew him necessarily. I'm guessing in a small town, I don't even know what Ken's occupation was. And maybe this guy just worked for him. He just knew him casually, because they made it sound like he didn't know him that well, but like, hey, can you just do me a favor? Yeah. So the guy's name was Anthony Gonzalez. So I guess he was like a local rapper, they said.
Okay. That
was
what they,
and he was known as Tony G. So please look the name up. And there is nobody under that name in that area at all. And that's all Ken and Jill know. They're like, we just know him as Anthony or Tony or whatever.
Yeah.
So they're like, there's no one with this name. So Ken's like, I'll show you him. I have him on Facebook. So he pulls him up, and sure as shit, Anthony Gonzalez is actually Arturo Naveo.
I knew it.
Yes. So, they, of course, bring Arturo back in now. And he's just a shithead, you know? Like, I mean, really is. He's mad. He's like, it must be pretty serious if you got me out of work for this. And, you know, because they show all this, the interview and stuff. And it's,
dude, I want to get smart with the cops.
Yeah, like, you're not helping yourself out.
No.
So obviously he keeps saying
that they brought you in.
Yeah, in the middle of the day, like, I think it's probably serious if they ever bring you in for anything.
Well, if they're not like, hey, at your convenience, we need you to come in.
Right. Like, we're getting you out of work right now, which is funny. I'll talk about some of the things the cop said. I enjoy this cop because he's kind of just a smartass, and I like that.
I mean, that's always a good time, yeah. My thing is, though, is like, eventually I feel like even if they hadn't decided to open it then, at some point they'd have been like, hey, this dude's not coming back for his meat. This is really weird. And I think it would have been opened sooner rather than later anyways.
Right. I think the connection, too, was he tried to use a different name, and then... Well, and we don't know how long she had been dead for.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, did he make this friendship randomly enough to be like, hey, I'm going to introduce myself as Anthony? Do they just think he's a rapper? Is he, like, that part never gets brought back up, which, whatever. But then I think he's just trying to disconnect that being tied to him in any sort of way.
Mm-hmm.
Which, he's so dumb. I mean, they would have eventually, it was just a matter of time.
Yeah.
So he's just like super angry, and he's like, well, everyone's pointing fingers at me. And they're like, well, yeah, like we have Shannon's body in a freezer. And then he just keeps saying, like, he says, this is just taking so long. I'm going to lose my job. And the officer was like, he said, what did he say? Something, I didn't put it exactly, but he made a comment about, I'm sure you shouldn't really be too worried about your dishwasher job at Outback right now. And he said, yeah, like he was just like a smartass. He's like, you should probably be concerned about some of the other things we're telling you.
Yeah.
And
you just, your ex-girlfriend whose home you've been living in.
Yes.
And you drove her car on a car chase.
Right. And if you had nothing to do with this, wouldn't you be like, oh my gosh, she's dead. Yeah. Like a little bit more concerned and shocked.
Yeah.
So he finally is just like, well, I get a phone call, right? I need to call a lawyer, apparently. And the guy's like, oh, you want a lawyer? He's like, yeah. So, okay, cool. So they arrest him and they get another warrant to search the apartment that he lived in with Shannon. I'm sure it was hers and he mooched. So, which I don't know why they didn't look sooner with it being a missing persons. Can you just go in? I don't know how that all works. And it might be different.
I'm not 100% sure.
Well, if they had, they probably.
If it's not Arturo's apartment though.
Yeah.
They should have been able to go in without needing a warrant.
Well, and I'm like,
if it was hers.
He gets the dog, like the dad got Molly
from
there. So I was like, maybe was he just outside waiting with Molly? Like, did the dad go in? Did people go into this apartment and see anything? Because when the police go into the apartment, there's just like a lot of weird things there. There's a large cleaver stuck in the door frame. Huh. Yeah. I need to see if I can find a picture of that. Cause it was like, what the heck? If you're trying to hide a murder, like you're not doing a very good job.
No.
And there was a few little drops of blood around, not a significant amount. And they never say if that's tied back to Shannon or not, but they find that. They find a witchcraft book. They find a receipt for a new apartment that Arturo had rented. So, okay. So we have two apartments now. So he's staying here, but he also has this other place.
Well,
so,
if he's been there for 6 months and hasn't been evicted, he has to be paying.
Right.
So which I read drugs somewhere. Again? Because, like, how are you?
I know. I read somewhere that they said that he was a drug dealer. I read that in like two different things, but I don't think it was ever actually proven. But I'm sure some of the previous record was selling drugs. I'm sure.
Yeah.
But, So they go to this other apartment now that they have proof that he lives there. So when they go in there, they find scuffs like on the freshly painted floor. So they could tell that a heavy piece of furniture had been moved because of the scuffing on the floor. They said, probably something like a freezer.
Right.
Maybe. So then the more they look around, they find a freezer manual that matches the same brand, and they find a freezer basket, you know, the basket.
Cause he would have taken that out.
Yeah.
Cause ours has a freezer basket. Mm-hmm. And if you're trying to
fit stuff in there. So they're like, okay, this makes perfect sense. He probably moved it because he knew that we were onto him, because as soon as they file that missing persons report or they start looking into it, he's scared. So I don't know how long the freezer was there, how long she had been in the freezer. I don't yeah. really know. But I'm guessing pretty early on if she was still, I mean, well, we'll talk about more, I guess, but they don't really have proof that he's still, I mean, he killed her though yet. Either. Yeah. They're like, we just have the proof that you hit her body or you did something. So when they talk to Ken and Jill, the homeowners, they also give another name, because I still don't know the relationship between Ken and Arturo, maybe some work thing, because Ken says that there's this girlfriend that Arturo has. Her name is Katrina Layton. He said that there's no way she didn't know about the freezer. And because they were like, did someone else have something to do with this? Someone would have had to help him. And
right.
Ken's like, I guarantee you Katrina knows. And they just keep saying like, how do you know? He's like, she knows, like she lives with him. There's no way she wouldn't know this. So he's pretty adamant about that. So they are going to talk to Katrina, but a little bit on her. So she was Arturo's girlfriend before Shannon and after Shannon. So she was even living in the apartment that Arturo and Shannon had shared.
Oh no.
Yes. She's an icky one. So she wasn't necessarily like assuming Shannon's identity, but she was like living her life. She was using her phone. So I think part of that, with the message she would have got in February, maybe she sent that to this John trying yep. to prove that she was still alive or whatnot. Yep. But like she was spending her money. She was taking care of her dog. I mean, which, okay, that's the only silver lining. Thank you for taking yeah. care of this dog. And were they really, I mean, enough? Not like Shannon probably would have. Because if you right. have beef with someone else, like, are you going to be nice to their animals? Probably not.
I don't know.
I love an animal, and it's not their fault that they have, like, an asshole owner or whatever. Right. But, you know, it was just weird, okay?
Katrina sounds like she was jealous of Shannon. Of course she wants Arturo back. She's going to do that. And what, now I get your dog, who maybe she was yeah. even, you know what I mean? Like,
and Katrina, I'm not one to hate on someone's looks, but she's rough looking. And Shannon was super cute, like very pretty. But Katrina just didn't try. Like you could tell she just didn't care, but she just looked like a drug user, I think, to the extreme too, where like she obviously would be very jealous of Shannon, you know?
Yeah.
I could see that. And so they talk to her and she's immediately just like, I get it. You have to bring me in here just because, I mean, I live with him and stuff. So I understand. And they're like, okay, well, not really. There's more of a connection there, you know, and she's just acts very happy and helpful. And they question her. They say, what do you know about Shannon? Tell us everything you know. And she says, if, you know, she doesn't know Shannon, anything about her as a person at all. And she didn't even know she was like missing and all this bullshit stuff, you know? Yeah. So interestingly enough too, Shannon's friends say that when Shannon was dating Arturo and he would like come into the club and stuff, Katrina would always show up there and try to talk to him and whatnot. Just very jealous. One of the friends said that Shannon even, quote, beat the snot out of her one time. So yeah. Okay. Clearly there's a relationship there. That's not a good one. So
yeah.
They said that Katrina was just batshit crazy and she was always lingering around. She always wanted Arturo back. So there's definitely that there that she is leaving out. So the detective says multiple times to her, Shannon is dead in your freezer. And she doesn't really say anything. She just keeps saying, I'm just trying to process this. And he said, you're not giving me any kind of reaction. I'm telling you that she is dead in your freezer. And she's like, well, I'm just trying to process this. She keeps saying that. And he says, process what? She said, well, I gave Arturo money for something for the house. And he obviously bought a freezer. And now the freezer's in another house with the body. Like, I just don't get it. I'm just trying to keep up. And like, just clearly trying to think of a lie. And yeah. the officer's like, you don't seem shocked at all. And she's like, well, I am. I'm just numb. And so then he just flat out says, did you kill her? Because he's just annoyed at this point. Yeah. And she's like, no, I would never do that. Blah, blah, blah. So then she gets all sorts of heated and defensive. And she keeps saying, why would you accuse me of that? He said, well, she's dead in the freezer that you paid for, because they have proof that she's the one that paid for this freezer too.
Gotcha.
So I don't know how or what, if it's a receipt or just a bank account, but then, you know, they get up and they're telling her, well, we know that you had something to do with this. We don't know what exactly, but we know you did. And she just starts flipping out and saying, I need out of this room. I'm claustrophobic. And it's super funny because the cop, that's when he says, well, you better get used to small rooms. Savage. Yeah. I was like, this guy's hilarious because, you know, and then she's just like pissed and crazy. So now let's move over back to our friend John here, the ex-boyfriend that was doing his own thing. So he's been investigating this whole time, trying to figure things out. He somehow gets a tip from a friend or whatnot that they should look at this guy, named Andrew Herman. So someone said that there was a bonfire recently nearby and this Andrew Herman was there and they thought there was some sketchy stuff going on there. So Andrew's described by people as very twisted, kind of dark. He idolized Jeffrey Dahmer.
Ew.
So, yeah. So John goes, I don't know why he just like takes it upon himself to do this, which actually I kind of like John because he does help out now. But so he goes to this place where this bonfire was and he looks through the remains like in the bonfire and he finds a bracelet in there that says Shannon.
Okay, first of all, like, I get that I'm, you know, good for him, but also, dude, you're going to implicate yourself if you go, like, tell the police, like, hey, this happened.
Yes.
Like, I really think we should go look at this.
Yeah, I agree. Like, you're not really helping if you're ruining because then evidence, that too.
I was going to say, because if you touch it and stuff, then it's compromised and they can't necessarily, because the proper channels use to use it in court and stuff like that, like.
Like, really, really. So Andrew, he actually had lived with Arturo at one point in time. So they were friends. They are connected. So Andrew tells them that him and Arturo had there was a bonfire just in March, which I don't know how everything was still there. I guess sometimes people just reburn the same thing. And if people that lived there didn't know what was being burned, why would they even have any reason to clean it up or, you know? Mm-hmm. So he said that Arturo had wanted to burn some of Shannon's things because he was just mad. He said he didn't think anything of it. So they had some belongings of hers that they burned. So,
I mean, I did burn an ex's shit after he cheated on me that I had in my place, but like he's, as far as I know, alive and well. So.
Well, and then when you find out that she's missing, wouldn't you say like, oh shit, we did this and go straight to the police and be like, this happened to not get yourself into trouble. Like they're going to find it anyway.
Yeah.
So cops think that all three of these people had something to do with it in one way or another. So Katrina, finally, like, they all kind of start turning on each other. So she says that Arturo called her in a panic to come over to the apartment that him and Shannon stayed at, which I don't know if he was dating them both at once or what.
I mean, probably.
But yeah, he sounds like a stand-up
guy. Or at least he knew he could keep Katrina on the hook for whatever he wanted and stuff.
Use Shannon's apartment. And so she said that he called her in a panic to come to the apartment. And she went over there and she said when she got there, he told her to go into the bathroom. And she went in there and she found Shannon dead. So that's her story. However, Arturo said that Katrina was so jealous and pissed that she hit Shannon with a hammer over the head. Okay.
Jesus.
So they both get charged at this point with abuse of a corpse and they keep continuing to claim they had nothing to do with this the whole time, even though now they both have said that the other one was there and they're not really that bright. So, this information is out on the news. So once this is on the news, people are learning more details about it. And a woman calls in with a tip. She said that she worked at the Walmart nearby and that Arturo and Katrina had actually placed an online order of 11 bottles of sulfuric acid. Dumbass too. Why would you do that online? Like, I just think we're not telling you how to get away with murder, but don't do that. If you
go far away,
you idiots. Under your name, go in with cash. Like, so ridiculous. Is that not the dumbest thing? I literally was like, you just put the nail in the coffin with that.
Yeah.
So they apparently were hoping that they could just pour the acid on her. She would wash down the drain.
So they were trying to like Breaking Bad it.
Breaking Bad. I just think of that scene.
Which if they would have watched it, they'd know that you don't do it in ceramic. You need it in a plastic tote.
Unless you want your ceiling to collapse. And,
yeah.
Yeah. That's such a great show. But that episode was real icky.
Yes, it was.
So anyway, yeah, but turns out that they had bought like an off brand of this. So that didn't fully work. It did a little bit though. And that's why they did only have part of her skull, which is, I mean, we don't need the details, but I mean, it explains the lack of some of the pieces they didn't find. So police now, their whole story, they think Katrina was causing problems in the relationship from the beginning and that that was ultimately the catalyst to her death. So they think that Katrina really did kill her and that Arturo did just a really shitty job of disposing of her.
I could see that because Arturo is getting what he wants out of it. Yeah. You know, either way, if he's playing both girls.
Yeah.
And then if you have Katrina kill your monster, you're like, well, all right, I guess I'll help you out. You know,
I'll help you out because you'll just turn on me and try to say I did it
or yeah.
So yeah, he did a terrible job, but also then they think that he called Andrew because they're buddies and said, hey, I need help with this. Can you help me dismember
the Andrew body? Probably helped with stuff Andrew, too.
Yes.
Especially if he idolizes Jeffrey Dahmer. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a creep. So
yeah.
They try this acid though first. And so when it doesn't work, they decided just to put the remains in a freezer. So by July, Arturo knew that they were kind of going to catch up with him at some point. So he wanted to get rid of this freezer somewhere away from him to obviously not make a connection to him or Shannon. So that's the story. They both get charged, obviously. And Arturo is sentenced to 48 years for the murder of Shannon Graves.
That's it.
I know. The family was pissed too. They were like, we think the sentences should have been way harsher. I'm not sure if they did a plea deal or what. I didn't really see a lot of that. And I don't care, but I just think
that's not,
you know, and he's like 30. Like, I know he'll be an old guy, but I don't know.
He could still be alive.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like 80s maybe.
But then the thing that's real shitty too is Katrina was sentenced to 18 years for tampering with evidence and obstruction of justice.
That's it?
Mm-hmm.
Like, she wasn't charged as an accessory to murder or anything?
Sure wasn't. And I don't know how that didn't happen. Yeah. Because I don't know if it's just like they don't have actual proof of the murder itself taking place, you know?
She still would have been an accessory after the fact.
So she definitely has a lot of time that she will have left when she gets out of prison. And
that's bullshit. Yeah,
I agree. And Andrew Herman gets sentenced to 12 years for abuse of a corpse. 12.
Again, why are they not being charged with accessory?
I know. They took all the matters to hide the body, destroy evidence. Yeah.
Even no. So you're charging him with tampering with a body. Mm-hmm. That means you know that's still an accessories action.
I know. I don't understand the reasoning behind it. And I think it's really sad that in this country you can kill someone and based on just like errors and stuff, you can still get out and have a life and get away with it just because of stupid things.
Ugh.
Yeah. Because it kept saying, oh, they still deny anything. But I'm like, they obviously had to plead to something in order to get those lower sentences.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So the family, like I said, they all wish they would have gotten more time, but they're glad they're at least just in prison. I mean,
yeah.
They, you know, yeah. They talk about just, of course, you know, the grief is always going to be there. They say that they'll miss Shannon's crooked grin and squeaky little voice, I guess. They said that she was love and she was adventure. So Debbie visits Shannon's burial site every few weeks, and she spray paints a large pink heart next to the headstone because it was her favorite color.
Oh.
So that is the story of Shannon Graves, and it is terrible.
Yeah,
absolutely awful. I didn't, go too much into, like, their sentencing and stuff because I don't even care. They're just worthless pieces of trash. No. I'm sorry, but that's...
Yeah.
It's super sad. So,
fuck them.
That was, and I think they were sentenced. I want to say, was that in 2020 or something? Because I mean, it's fairly like recent-ish. There's been, let me see, I had it here. Okay, because that was in 2017, and then obviously, in 2019, they were sentenced. So, They're not even really into their sentence that much, but
no, but they're still,
yeah,
that's,
I think there is to another like documentary. I did not watch it, but, I'm just going to see if I could find it on here. Sex and Murder. That's what it's called. And that came out, I guess, in 2021. So there's an episode on there, about it as well, if anyone ever wants to check that out. So
there you go.
Yeah. Ugh,
poor Shannon.
I know.
And poor Molly. Losing her
I
mama.
Know. Ugh. And Molly lives with Debbie now, which is sweet. So
yeah.
I'm glad that she at least, yeah.
At least, you know, yeah, she's still taken care of and they didn't take out, you know, everyone, but ugh.
I know. Pretty gross.
And yeah, I hate that.
Sad what jealousy will do. So another one of those fun ones. So that's what I've got for you this week. And as usual,
I added that show to my, I've got a list right now of stuff that I'm going to try to get watched in the next couple of weeks before I add hours and stuff. Mm-hmm. So I just added that as well now.
The HBO one?
Yeah. That you were talking about.
Yeah. So good. I love a good documentary like that, though. So.
Yeah. I have a bunch on my list right now. I want to watch Bodies, Bodies, Bodies on Amazon. I think it's on Peacock, too, or something.
Bodies, Bodies, Bodies?
Yeah, that's the one with, it's like one of those comedy horrors.
Oh, yeah. I love those.
Same. And then I just have a ton. I did go, I guess we're going to go transition into the what we've watched. And
yeah, that's fine. It's a good segue out of that.
I did go watch The Meg 2 in 3D. And
I didn't know you even saw it in 3D.
Oh, I did it in 3D. It was phenomenal. I loved it so much, except for the two annoying women. It was literally just me at first. And then these two younger women, I mean, they had to have been in at least their 20s, walked in. I'm clear in the back. They're up in like the third row. And this one girl was so loud. I could hear her over the action scenes. I was that old lady shushing them and be like, do you mind? Like,
yeah, that's so rude though. Like, I hate that when people pay to go to a movie, like, shut up.
Yeah. You're right next to each other. Lean over and whisper if whatever you need to say is so important. Like, whatever. Let me enjoy my ridiculous action movie with giant sharks and Jason Statham. Okay? Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah. And then I did binge all of season two of Heartstoppers. Adorable. I loved it. It's so fantastic.
Like, what is that one on? I know I've seen it.
Netflix. It's Netflix.
It's Heartstopper. That's right. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yep. So my friend, Mr. Jordan, and I binged the first season together. Uh-huh. And then even though he's in a different state, we hit play at the same time and we just text each other. So we were up until like 12:30 that Thursday night watching it all. Oh, you guys, seriously, it covers such heavy things, but in such a well done way. And it's so cute and it's adorable. And it makes me happy. It's so cute.
Good.
Yeah. I want to watch, it's called Unknown Cave of Bones on Netflix documentary.
I know. I meant to respond to that yesterday when you said that to me. I like started it and I'm not going to lie. I got kind of bored and I didn't finish it.
I'm going to check it out. It's on my list. Yeah. I haven't watched it. I'm just intrigued by it. I came across
it thinking it was something else and I was like, yeah, this is boring. I'm done. So
fair. That's fair.
That's it. But yeah. Mm-hmm.
I haven't honestly really, I finished one book. Did I finish anything else in the last week? I've been like in this like difficult reading slump right now. Like I like what I'm reading, but at the same time, I'm just kind of like, I can't. Oh, I did read. Okay. So I read a horror book called, Hide, which was good. I enjoyed it. It just wasn't as scary. I don't know if I'm becoming like desensitized a bit. Like it just wasn't really scary. It was interesting, but like not scary. Mm-hmm. And then I read on the weekend just because I needed a fluff read, but this was a spice fluff read. Uh-huh. It was called Rock Hard Gargoyle.
Okay.
It's our world and magic is now a known thing. Monsters have been living among us. Just wearing illusions. So there are like dragons and gargoyles and shifters and krakens and
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It was cute. It was ridiculous. There was some spice. If you want a monster romance, it was a fun, cute, that's hilarious.
Romance. That's yes. Things you usually put together. So,
oh, trust me, it's a whole genre.
Oh, wow.
It is. Wow. It is a thing.
Gosh.
I mean, if you think about it, vampires have been a ploy, and
true.
Those are technically monsters. This is just,
that's fair.
You know, more so.
Yeah.
So, yeah. That's fair. So, after working on some podcast stuff and some stuff for my side hustle, I think I'm going to try to watch something this afternoon before the kids get home.
There you go. There's some good stuff out there. I watched on Disney Plus, actually, A Small Light. Oh, okay. My gosh. It is amazing. So it's a National Geographic, but it's a dramatized story of Meep Geese from the Holocaust. She's the one that hid Anne Frank and her family.
Oh, I saw something about that.
It is incredible. Like, I love learning about, like, the Holocaust and that whole thing. And so, and my daughter's super into that stuff now. And so we watched it, and it is amazing. There's so much I didn't know about the whole thing that, and it's awful because the whole time, like, your heart is pounding, like, with different situations, and like, it sucks because you know how it ends, and that's awful. But it was so well done, and I can't believe it hasn't gotten more
hype
press. And it's amazing.
Okay, I'll definitely add that to my list too.
It was so good. Like, I cannot say enough good things about it. And it wasn't like, you didn't, you know, it doesn't show the really ugly
stuff,
thankfully. I mean, for children at least, because my kid liked it. But I watched that. I'm trying to think if I don't know. I did start reading again, though. I'm reading, what is it called? I think it's called, is it The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo?
I've heard of that. I've heard mixed stuff on that.
So far, it's actually really good, but I've had it since June, and I'm trying to go through all my books and read them. And so I'm going to finish that, and then I'm going to read one of the ones you brought me.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Love it. Yeah, I've got like five books going right now. So, because I've just been, like I said, like in a weird reading funk, like I just can't focus well enough on them. And so I just needed like a fluff, and I've been listening to
sometimes you just some need different those ones. Lighter, lighter things. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, very nice.
You know, nice. usual stuff, y'all. Instagram. Yeah. TikTok, our website, follow us, subscribe, rank, review, do whatever you can, you know.
Send stories.
Yes.
Yeah.
We appreciate all the love and support.
Band of posting things more, and if there's something you would like to see from us, let us know.
Yeah, 100%. So I think that's all I got for this week. What about you?
That's it. All I got.
All right. All right. Well, until next time, stay heartland kind.
But darkland weary.